This particular afternoon, this Saturday, June 9th, 2012, the day before the Tony Awards at the Beacon Theater, we're celebrating Broadway with our 8th annual Total Theater Tony Show. We're here till 4 o'clock Mountain Time. That would be 6 o'clock Eastern Time. We just spoke to Spencer Caden, the Tony nominee from Don't Dress for Dinner. We also have spoken to a couple of theater critics in New York, and we have with us on the phone, let me get my cheat sheet. Yes, another one. He is the very fine. He's both a writer and a photographer. You can read his stuff on BroadwayStars.com, but also you can see his photographs in, well, everywhere, pretty much, and all over the web. I'm not doing the intros very well today. I apologize for that. But Michael Portantier, welcome to the Total Theater Tony Show once again. How you doing?
Hello.
Oh, good. Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, super. Yeah, you sound great. Terrific. So I was just saying welcome, and you write for BroadwayStars.com, and also, where else can people read your work?
Well, I've been doing some writing for the NPR website, and also for a website called artsamerica.org, which has a blogging, but it also has listings for theaters and cultural institutions all over the U.S., so people might want to check that out. It's a really great new resource.
Cool. So what did you think overall of the past season, on or off Broadway?
I thought the off-Broadway season was as vital and interesting as ever. I thought the Broadway season in general, with obviously a couple exceptions, was extremely poor.
Oh, my God.
And there were some things that happened that really upset me greatly. Most particularly, the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, quote unquote, and also Nice Work If You Can Get It, which was another kind of dreadful misuse of the great songs of George and Ira Gershwin.
Well, let me take you there, first of all. I mean, are you generally against those kinds of shows that cobble together? I mean, if it's modern music, they're jukebox musicals. If they're not, they're by
right.
Joe DiPietro. So are you generally against those, period?
It's hard to answer that. I would say when they're bad, which they usually are, then I'm definitely against them. But it's interesting, there are at least two other examples of that with the Gershwin songs, and the first one, My One and Only, I thought that was a terrific show. And the second one, Crazy for You, I thought was really not very good at all. And Nice Work If You Can Get It, I think is far worse, is by far the worst of the three. So it's kind of, I think it's been diminishing returns in that regard. But that unfortunately has to do with, I think, the Gershwin estate, the people who are running it now, just really, they really don't seem to, they seem to make the worst possible decisions, and it's just very sad.
But can I ask you, what then is so much worse about Nice Work Than You Can Get It from My One and Only? It's a silly, I haven't seen it, but, you know.
Nutshell, the book is so terrible. It's I don't find it funny, and also it's so ridiculous. The things that happen don't just make any sense whatsoever. I mean, even within the internal logic of the show, I realize it's not supposed to be realistic in any way, but aside from that, it's just the whole setup and the way the characters have been rewritten, and I just find it really and on top of that, I think both leads are actually miscast. Matthew Broderick is supposed to be this very sexy, suave young playboy, and I don't think he really qualifies for that, certainly not anymore, maybe 25 years ago. And Kelly O'Hara, although I think she's one of the most talented people on the planet, I think she's miscast because she's supposed to be playing this kind of scrappy bootlegger, you know, like really kind of lower class woman, and she's never really believable in that role to me. So so all of that together for me made for a really, really dispiriting evening.
Wow. Now yeah. As angry and as upset and dispirited as you are about that show, I have to say, I think I may not agree with it in whole cloth, but your article about Porgy and Bess is one of the best theater writing pieces I've read all year. So why not, in a nutshell, give your objections to the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, the Broadway revival with Norm Lewis and Audra McDonald, and your problem with it?
Well, I think Stephen Sondheim said it better than I ever could in a letter to the Times, for which I applaud him, that he sent before the show actually was even performed in Cambridge, where it started before it came to New York. But what he was objecting to was things that had already been discussed by the creators and also by Audra McDonald, the star, as to what was wrong with the original Porgy and Bess and how they were going to basically fix it. And that just, you know, drove both me and Sondheim, and I'm hoping lots of other people, up the wall. It just was so disrespectful. There are ways to, I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of adapting Porgy and Bess as more of a Broadway musical than a full-fledged opera, but I think there were so many better ways they could have done it than what they did here. They rearranged the music, they changed the harmonies, they changed the keys, they cut far more music than they needed to, and they rewrote some, actually rewrote some lyrics, not many, but some. And why rewrite? DuBose Hayward, wrote most of the lyrics, and Ira Gershwin wrote a small percentage of them. It just all these changes that were completely unnecessary. The character of Bess in particular has been, you know, has been degraded into this person that really does not fit in with the rest of everything that's going on, and not what it's the character is supposed to be. Basically, Audra McDonald is playing her like some crack whore, which is to an extent is what she is, but not in this like ultra gritty, realistic, jittery, you know, way that she's playing her. When you get right down to it, it's still an opera or at least a musical, and you don't want that kind of acting you want somewhat more stylized, somewhat more I guess that's the best word, stylized now, acting.
Long as we're on that topic, you know, the two categories that I wanted to talk with.
Yes.
With Michael Portant here, were the leading actor and actress roles in a musical. So Porgy and Bess does figure in. We'll start with the actress role, because Audra McDonald is up against Jan Maxwell in Follies, Kristen Milioti in Once, and Kelly O'Hara in Nice Work If You Can Get It. So by process of elimination, I would imagine that you probably would vote for Jan Maxwell in this category.
I would vote for her. I thought she did a fantastic job, and I was very happy because she, I think this was her most high-profile role to date, and she did it very well, and she got a lot of praise for it, a lot of deserved praise, so I would vote for her. I thought that actually Kristen Milioti did a very good job in Once, but I have some problems with the writing there, too, although not nearly as much as with anything else we've mentioned. So I think she played the part exactly as it was written, but I didn't really ultimately love it because of the totality of the role. And we've already discussed how miscast I think Kelly O'Hara is, which leaves Laura Osnes from Bonnie and Clyde. And I thought actually that both she and Jeremy Jordan as Clyde did magnificent jobs. That show, again, was not, I think the big problem was the book. But given that, they did everything they could, both of those people and also the supporting people in the role. But I certainly don't think, that as terrific as she was, I certainly don't think that Laura Osnes has a chance because, aside from everything else, the show only ran about a month or less.
Right, so Tony Bowers can't go back and see it, for one thing.
Right. Yes, and aside from everything else, I'm not sure if people know how it works. The Tony voters A lot of them see the shows when they open, but then there are a whole other group of Tony voters who don't even necessarily live in New York and tend to come much later, you know, like right around, like over the past, say, like month or two. And so they can't see the show if it's not running, so that, you know, so that obviously works against anyone who was nominated for a show that's closed.
Now, Michael, let's also move to performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical. And the nominees are Danny Burstyn in Follies, Jeremy Jordan, Newsies, Steve Casey in Once, Norm Lewis in the... I dare I say the name of the musical to you, the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, and Ron Raines for Follies.
Yes, Ron, again, is a person who I think that this was definitely his most high-profile role in a long time, and he did a great job, but the bulk of the raves for Follies did not go to him. They went to, well, I guess the other leads, and specifically Danny Burstyn. I think he was the one who got across the board good reviews. I don't think he got a single negative review from anyone. So I think he would be my personal choice, but also I think he has a very good chance of winning. Jeremy Jordan was absolutely fantastic in both Bonnie and Clyde and in Newsies.
Yeah.
And you know, but and there's also a tremendous amount of interest in him because he did those two shows within the space of one season and within such a short space within that season. And also he's very young and dynamic, and he's got a great voice, and he's really cute. So I think he would normally be almost a lock, but on the other hand, some people have argued that he may not get a lot of votes because a lot of people feel he's so young and so new that he has so much ahead of him.
He's got to pay his dues first before they give him a little statuette, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, but he's certainly, in terms of the quality of the performance, he in Newsies, which is what he's nominated for, he certainly deserves it. Steve Kazee, very, very excellent in Once. And also, I hate to say it, I mean, this is, you know, should not even enter into it, but there was a New York Times article on him not too long ago, which I didn't actually read, but I've read about it a lot, and apparently it went into how he was raised in a trailer park, basically dirt poor. And then also, on top of that, his mother died just a couple of months ago. So although, you know, it really should not enter into it, I think the sympathy factor may help him, added to the fact that he's so great in the show, and he is also a very good possibility for the win. I think it's between him and Danny Burstyn. Norm Lewis, I did not get universally great mm-hmm. reviews in Porgy and Bess, although, again, he's one of my favorite performers and a magnificent voice, but a voice that really is maybe not quite up to the operatic role of Porgy. So I don't think that he will get it. And as I said, Ron, I think, would certainly yield to Danny in terms of the way the voters are going to go.
Well, Michael Portantier, it's been great talking with you. Just last quickie question. What was your favorite thing all year off Broadway?
I would narrow it down to two. A play called Tribes, a beautiful play that's still running at the Barrow Street Theater. About it's basically about a deaf young man and his relationship with his family. You've really got to see it if you can, and it is still running, so try. And the other one was Sons of the Prophet, a beautiful play by Stephen Karam that the Roundabout did off Broadway, and that's no longer running. But if you ever see it done anywhere, do try to get a ticket, definitely.
Wow. Well, thank you, Michael Portantier, as always.
Thanks,
David.
Great
to hear your thoughts. Great. And also, everybody, please remember to read Michael at BroadwayStars.com. And what was the other place? I'm sorry, I didn't write it down.
Oh, well, I contribute to NPR sometimes.
NPR as well.
And at NorthAmerica.org.
There you go. Michael Portantier, thanks so much. Enjoy the Tonys tomorrow, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, David.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.